now across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest. Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from guns. Present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, breaking the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On you, Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike and the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush with Quaker Pop Wheat and Quaker Pop Rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
That can make a better cereal than Quaker Pop Wheat. It's neat. And when you hear the shooting, you turn tootin'. The Quaker makes the one shot from gun.
For downright delicious breakfast eating, you can't beat the one shot from gun. Quaker Pop Wheat or Quaker Pop Rice. And nourishing, you might not know that anything as good as Quaker Pop Wheat or rice could also give you the added food values of restored natural grains of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So every morning, pack away a big supply of delicious Quaker Pop Wheat or Quaker Pop Rice and get them in those new giant-sized economy packages, the great big packages with a famous Quaker gun on the front. And say, there's going to be an important announcement on Sergeant Preston today. So keep listening. Keep listening till the end of the program, and you'll be glad you did. In the Gotham City headquarters of the Northwest Mounted Police, the inspector looked up from his desk as the door of his office opened.
Oh, come in, Sergeant. Are you ready to start on your spring patrol?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I was saddling my horse when Blake brought word that he wanted to see me.
I'm glad that he caught you. You're traveling east, aren't you?
Yes, sir. East as far as the town of Rockville.
I have a letter for you to deliver to Mr. and Mrs. Jim Howard.
Oh?
They're the parents of Constable Howard. They live just a few miles this side of Rockville. Jim Howard is a traveler.
I know Jim and Mary Howard, sir. I intended to call on them. Oh, have they been notified that their son was shot while trying to arrest an outlaw?
Yes, Sergeant. I sent them word at the time of the shooting. This letter is to notify them that Constable Howard is out of danger. He'll be able to leave the hospital in a few days.
Good.
You'll be able to tell his parents more about the shooting than we reported in the letter.
Yes, sir.
With King running alongside, Sergeant Preston rode out of town on his big black horse Rex. After about a week of travel, he reached the home of Jim and Mary Howard in late afternoon. The parents of the wounded constable read the inspector's letter, then listened with interest while Preston told them the details of the shooting.
Your son was returning from patrol. He was just a few miles from Dawson when, unexpectedly, he ran into Ed Bixby. He recognized Bixby as a criminal who had been wanted by the law for some time. But Bixby shot before Jack could draw his gun.
Shot Jack in the head.
The bullet struck the side of Jack's head.
Oh.
It narrowly missed being fatal.
Bixby meant to shoot
him. Yes, Mary. He probably thought he had killed him. He stole Jack's handcuffs, gun, and pack. Jack was found on the trail and brought to headquarters by a prospector.
Has Bixby been captured?
No, not yet, Jim. They found his tracks in the snow at the scene of the shooting and followed him to a nearby cabin. There, it seems, Bixby met two other men and traveled with them. We followed the trail of the three men for several miles, but finally lost it.
I understand that Dick stole Jack's clothes.
Not the clothes he was wearing, Mary. He was dressed in a cold weather outfit, but he had a uniform in his pack that was stolen.
A red coat uniform like the one you're wearing?
Yes, Mary.
I'd sure like to get my hands on Dixon.
The law worked at him, Jim. Long before he shot your son, he sent out handbills offering $500 reward for information leading to his captain.
Good.
Jim, I'm going now.
Sergeant, we'd be very happy if you'd stay here for supper.
We sure would, Sergeant. And why not spend the night here?
Well,
there's plenty of room, Sergeant Preston. You need a guest bedroom.
That's very kind of you. I must go to Rockville.
I'll go there tonight.
No, it's just in soon.
Oh, stay here and go to Rockville in the morning. It'll only take you a short time to get there.
Very well, Jim, and thank you.
Good. Stable your horse in the shed behind the house and bring Jimmy in here.
I'll start supper right away.
At that moment, Ed Bixby and his two hard-faced companions sat in a cave less than 3 miles south of the Howard cabin. The trio had gone there to remain in hiding after the shooting of the young constable.
Boy, I've been taking inventory. We need supplies. Just about used up the grub we brought with us.
Hey, Rockville's only a couple of miles from here, Bixby.
You think it's safe to steer in town? All three of us are wanted by the law. All lawmen are stationed there. Now that they've learned that the civilians can explore the country.
Well, then let's go.
I don't think we should all go and leave our gear here in a cave with no one to watch it. Wolves, the other
two. I'm not going to be the one to stay here. I'm going to town.
Well, I don't mind. Jim. All right, Ed. Keep an eye on them.
We'll start right now, I bet you.
We'll start as soon as they make out a list of the things we need.
I'll get your pencil and paper.
It was early evening when the two outlaws reached the town of Rockville. Chief Fenton went to a cafe, while Bixby took his list of needed supplies to the general store, which was owned by an elderly man named Jeb Allen.
Size of a list, you see. Takes a little while to get all these things together.
Well, wait, yes.
Have you ever been here before?
Oh, why?
You look familiar, somehow.
You've never seen me before. It's the first time I've been in Rockville. Just passing through town.
I reckon I must be mistaken. Well, sit down, make yourself comfortable. I'll get right to work on your order. Flour.
As Jeb Allen collected supplies and piled them on the counter, he glanced frequently at the customer seated beside the stove, wondered why the man looked familiar. Suddenly, he remembered. He opened the cash drawer and glanced at a police handbill that lay inside.
Sure enough.
Doorkeeper took a heavy revolver from the drawer.
Is this?
Ready?
No, Mr. Bixby. I called the Bixby. Wipe your hands.
Hey, what's the idea of holding the gun on you?
You're wanted by the law. Anyway, I warn you. Just bust your arm, that's all. But by juniper, you stand still and keep your hands away from your gun, or I'll blow your head off.
What's going on?
I heard a
shot.
What's
your team? I just caught a good boy. There he stands. As reward of $500 on his head.
Good.
Oh, hey, it's not true.
Jeb Allen, don't lie.
His armor wouldn't go.
Sure thing. Stand still, mister.
Oh, you made a mistake. I'm no good. I'll leave it to you, boys. Here's the handbill describing a critter named Ed Bixby. Here's his picture.
The townsman looked at the handbill and agreed that the storekeeper had made no mistake. Meanwhile, other men who had heard the shot came into the store, and among them was Chief Fenton. He and Bixby looked at each other without giving any sign of recognition. Then Chief said,
"Well, there's no doubt about it. The storekeeper tested an outlaw and earned a reward. It's lucky there's a mountie from here."
"What do you mean by that, mister? You know of a mountie?" Mm-hmm.
"Yeah, the one who's on patrol. I saw Mickey's cat not far from town."
"Yeah,
you've got a place to jail this critter for a little while. I'll go and get that body."
"There's no jail in Rockville. We'll hold him here in the store. I'll get the rope. Time up."
"Good. I'll be back with the money as soon as
possible." "Now, you know."
He hurried back to the cave and told Hank Dover about Bixby's capture.
"I remember that he had the clothes that were in the constable's pack. I figured that'd fit you.
So I told the men in the store I knew where to find the mounties and take charge of the prison."
"I knew where the uniform would go to town."
"Yeah.
All right, I'll see his clothes right away. Good thing the law hasn't circulated handbills with our pictures on them."
Though it was after midnight, a number of men were waiting in Jeb Allen's store when Chief returned with his outlaw companion, who was dressed as a constable. Hank looked at Bixby, then turned to Jeb and said,
"No doubt about it. This is Ed Bixby."
"Well, aren't you going to handcuff him?"
"Well, I... Oh, you want some of it to go along with the constable?"
"No, no, that won't be necessary. My friend here will accompany you, won't you,
Chief?" "All right, Bixby. Start walking."
When the three men were a short distance from town, Bixby said,
"Hold on, wait a minute.
No one can see us now. Take off his hands, sir.
Where's the chief?
I don't know. Haven't you got it?
No.
This isn't one of the pockets of that uniform?
No, Fitzy, these pockets are empty. You're the one who robbed the constable, didn't you find the handcuffs, Chief?
I never saw what I took it for granted you had the key when you put these cuffs on me.
Yes, sir. The key was in one of the pockets of the clothes the constable was wearing.
I didn't go through his pockets. Don't worry about it, Fitzy. We'll find a way to get the cuffs off you after we get back to the cave. Now, come on.
All efforts to remove the handcuffs failed, and Bixby spent the night with the steel bands on his wrists. A few miles north of the cave, Sergeant Preston slept in the trapper's home. Next morning, while at breakfast...
More coffee, Sergeant?
Yes, thanks, Harry. Jim, you were telling me about a timber wolf that's been robbing your trap line.
Yes, he's been around all winter.
I should think a good dog could run down that wolf.
Maybe so.
I'm sure King can do it.
Oh. Look at King, Sergeant. He knows you're talking about him.
Ask King to catch the wolf, no doubt of it.
I'll leave him with you while I go to Rockford, Jim.
You will?
Yes. Go in the tail of the wolf so we can get the scent. I think you'll take it from there.
Well, that'll be fine, Sergeant. How about it, King? Willing to work with me today? I reckon that means yes.
After breakfast, Sergeant Preston saddled his horse and started southeast toward Rockville, while Jim Howard and King headed north from the cabin in search of the wolf. Meanwhile, in the cave, Fitzy finished a meager breakfast and complained.
Even back any grub from town. Fitzy, I've been thinking about those. You've been thinking about them. What do you think I've been doing? I lay awake all night thinking about them. I gotta get them all.
Need a file.
When are we gonna get a file? Don't dare go back to town.
There's a camp in north here. I saw it the other day when I was hunting through. We can walk there in about half an hour.
I'm good at that, too.
The man who lives there is sure to have some tools to fix his traps and gear.
You're right, mate. He's probably got a file.
We'll all go there. I'll wear the uniform and say I lost the key to the hint.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, how good are your ears? Can you tell what something is by just listening to it? Well, we'll find out right now, because here's a little listening test. You listen carefully and see if you can guess what kind of a thing makes this sound. Ready? Now listen real carefully. Did you hear that? Can you guess what you heard? You're pretty good if you can guess, because very few people have ever heard this before. It's something that's brand new, a brand new invention you may never have heard of. Listen to this. Fellas and girls, you're listening to the Sergeant Preston Pedometer in Action, the amazing new device that automatically records the mileage you walk. That's right, the Sergeant Preston Pedometer works something like the speedometer in a car, only it tells you your actual walking mileage. Yes, those clicks you heard meant that the pedometer was ticking off every step, turning the countless steps into the miles a person walks. And now, listen carefully again. Here's the news you've been waiting for. You can have this pedometer. Yes, fellas and girls, we're making this wonderful Sergeant Preston pedometer available to you at the end of this program. So get pencil and paper ready right now and keep listening. Keep listening till the end of the program and you'll hear how easy it is to get your amazing Sergeant Preston pedometer that actually tells how far you walk. To continue.
All right, boy.
In the town of Rockville, Sergeant Preston tied his horse to the hip rail and entered the store. Jeb Allen greeted him warmly.
Sergeant Preston, how are you?
Fine, Jeb, and you?
First rate. Is he outside?
Oh, I left him with Jim Howard. Helping Jim track down a wolf that's been robbing his trap.
Yeah. I suppose you're here to get an official report, huh?
Report? On what?
On the capture of Ed Bixby.
What?
Yeah. I captured him last night. Haven't you heard about it?
Oh, tell me.
It's a lie. When I saw you stop out front, I thought you were coming here to get my statement for the reward to be paid to me. I thought you'd met the constable.
What constable?
The one who came here last night to take Bixby into custody.
I didn't meet anyone.
Huh?
Furthermore, I'm sure there's no constable in this vicinity.
Ah, that's odd. One came here last night.
What's his name?
I don't know.
Yep. Well, at the beginning and tell me everything that happened.
Well, last night a man came in to buy supplies.
Yep.
He looked familiar. I couldn't place him. Then I remembered a handbill. So I looked at the handbill and...
Sergeant Preston listened attentively. Then asked a number of questions about the man who had posed as a constable and the one who had brought him.
Yes, from what you've told me, I'd say that all three of those men are wanted for the law.
Then that critter's not a constable?
No. I think he and the other man are Victor's partners. You know which direction those men took when they left here?
No. The fella said he'd take the prisoners to Dawson. But if he's not a Mountie, there's no telling which way they went.
That's right.
It's too bad he's not with you. He could probably follow the tent.
Not unless he had the tent at Parkway. Go and get King. Is there anything here that Vic could handle? He didn't happen to leave anything, did he?
No.
A bandana, a pair of mittens?
No. He did leave a list of things he meant to buy.
Oh?
I don't suppose that'd help. Just a hunk of paper. Looks like it had been torn from a notebook.
Victor may have handled the paper enough to leave a scent. Especially if his hands were tired a little.
Do you think King could get the scent from the paper?
I don't know, Jeff, but it's worth trying. I'll get King.
Riding fast toward the trapper's cabin, Sergeant Preston hoped that Jim and King had returned from their search for the wolf. Meanwhile, Mary, alone in the cabin, was sweeping the floor when she heard a rap on the door. Looking through the window, she saw three men, one of whom wore a familiar uniform.
A Mountie. Constable. How do you do, Constable?
Howdy, ma'am.
Do you have a prisoner?
Yes. Unfortunately, I snapped the handcuffs too tight. I want to remove the handcuffs, but the trouble is I lost my key.
Oh.
I come here hoping I could borrow a file.
My husband may have one. He's not here, but I'll get his tool box for you, Constable.
Smith.
Constable Smith, you'd better come in and stop the man.
My hands are numb.
Constable, won't you ruin the handcuffs by using the file to remove them?
Oh, yes. I'll have to get another pair when I get back to the Dawson headquarters.
I'll get the tool box. It's in the cupboard. Are you going to take the prisoner all the way to Dawson
if he's home soon? Oh, I'll tie his hands if necessary, ma'am. And my friend here is making the trip with me. He'll help guard the prisoner.
Here are the tools. Help you stop to whatever you need.
I'll see if there's a file.
Thanks, ma'am. You're mighty kind.
Well, I'm glad to help a lawman. My son is a constable.
What? He is?
Yes, you probably know him. His name's Jack Howard.
Jack Howard? Is he alive?
Yes, why did he...
I heard that he'd been shot.
Oh, that's true. An outlaw named Fitzy shot him. Fortunately, he was not killed.
Hey, here's a file. You'll start working on the handcuffs?
Yeah, get to work on that. I'm glad to hear that your son wasn't killed, Mr. Howard. I haven't been in Dawson recently, so I don't know the latest news.
According to the inspector, Jack will be able to leave the hospital in a few days.
Oh? Did you talk to the inspector?
No, but I had a letter from him. It was delivered by Sergeant Preston.
Oh, my word.
I'll
be more careful. I didn't know Sergeant Preston was in this neighborhood.
Yes, he's on patrol. He came here last evening and stayed overnight with us.
Where is he now?
He left this morning to go to Rockville. I expect he'll be back here this evening. He'll probably have a key to fit those handcuffs if he's dead away.
I can't wear these things that long. I'd like to start the man, but I'm in a hurry to get to Dawson with the prison.
Yes, I suppose you are.
Go right on with what you're doing, Howard. Don't let us interfere.
Oh, I'm finished in here. I was just about to clean the bedroom. If you need anything else, just call me.
Thanks, Mrs. Howard.
How much longer is this going to stay? I don't know. I'm working the best of the time.
Yes.
Huh?
You can come over here doing it. I got something to show you.
So what is it? Something wrong?
Yeah, trouble. Look over there. The man riding a black horse.
Yeah,
Mountie. He's coming back here.
Mrs. Howard's in inspection back this room.
What'll we do? We can't get away from here without him seeing us.
There's only one thing to do. We got to catch him.
How?
Well, if he stands beside the door. When he comes in... Plug him with your gun barrel.
I suppose that if you men are hungry,
Don't yell.
A gun, what does it say?
Just keep quiet. You will get told and you won't be hurt.
Constable!
Never. Hold it since you can't.
I've got it.
All right, keep your hand over your mouth, Hank.
All right.
Hands beside the door, Pete, and have your gun ready.
I'm all set.
Preston, don't walk in so you can hit him from behind. We may have to shoot him.
You're going to shoot him. You should be able to use your gun, even though your hands are fastened together.
Yeah, well, I can use it. Get it from beneath my shirt. Preston stopped in front of the place. Get ready.
Utterly helpless in Hank's powerful grip, Mary Howard had given up her futile struggles. She could do nothing but watch Pete poised by the door and Bixby waiting nearby and hope that some miracle might save Sergeant Preston.
Easy. You ready?
In front of the cabin, Sergeant Preston dismounted, then rapped on the door. He waited for a moment. There was no response.
Probably in the back room with the door closed.
Stepping into the room, Preston had a quick glimpse of Mary in the grip of a man.
Hey, what?
Good work.
At that instant, Jim Howard and King, returning from the wolf hunt, reached the crest of a small hill a short distance to the north and saw Preston's horse in front of the cabin.
Yes, King, your master's back. You still didn't stay long in Rockville.
Hey! Hey, what's your hurry?
All right, go ahead. I know you're anxious to rejoin, Preston.
The big dog, knowing instinctively that his master was in danger, raced ahead of Jim. Inside the cabin, Preston regained consciousness after a few minutes. He was weak and somewhat dazed. He found himself lying on the floor and saw a man in a constable's uniform tying Mary to a chair at one side of the room.
Is that your gun, Preston?
Turning his head, Preston saw Bixby watching him closely.
Don't move or I'll drill you.
The outlaw held a gun in one of his manacled hands, while another man fitted a key to the handcuff.
Careful, Pete.
We'll get between Preston and me. Stay to the guy.
No, Bixby. I'll have you free in a second.
He's lifting hands up.
All right, hurry up.
Hey, Dick. You're free at last. Now, shall I try first?
I've been taking that over. You leave him alive, he'll soon be on our tail again.
You're going to kill him?
I figure that's the only way.
Oh, no!
We've got to make sure we have time enough to get across the border.
Then we'll head for the border from here.
Yeah.
You decide to steal and see that you do a better job than you did on Constable Howard.
A woman's eyes,
yeah.
We were set to leave. Preston, you got anything to say?
You three men are under arrest for a number of crimes, including the shooting and robbing of Constable Howard, the capture of Mary Howard, and the attack on me.
We're under arrest.
Hey, that's a good one. You have a lot of...
The man turned toward the open door. Preston leaped to his feet. He got a fist to Bixby's jaw. A knockout blow.
Come here, you. Let go of me.
Then he's in a bear hug, holding the outlaw's arms against his side.
Look behind. Crack his jaw.
King. King dashed through the open door. The dog gripped his gun hand at his strong jaws.
I'll give you undivided attention.
Sergeant Preston released his arm. But before the outlaw could raise his gun, a fist clamped against his jaw.
Here's another.
Preston picked up his gun as he fell to the floor.
That'll do, King. Down, boy, down. As I was saying, Hank, you're under arrest. So are Bixby and Pete.
What happened to them?
Mary! Preston, hey, what's this? What's going on here?
This is the man on the left is Bixby. The crook who shot our son.
What?
The others are his partner.
Untie your wife, Jim, and help me tie these crooks.
Yeah, I'll get you free, Mary.
Are you all right?
Oh, yes, yes, I'm all right. But you should have seen it, King. You should have seen Sergeant Preston and King. They were wonderful.
Preston, these are the men you were looking for.
Yes, Jim. Thanks to Jeb Allen, he's earned a reward. And thanks to King, the case is closed.
We'll return in just a moment for a word about our next exciting adventure. All right, fellas and girls, here's the big news you've been waiting for. Get your pencil and paper ready so you can send in for your Sergeant Preston pedometer right away. But first, listen to these facts about the amazing pedometer. The pedometer is a device that tells how far you walk, gives you your actual walking mileage, like a car speedometer tells your father how far he's traveled. The pedometer is made of metal. That means it's sturdy, so you can use it practically anywhere. Hiking, camping trips, or in games and sports. The pedometer works automatically. All you do is wear it, and the motion of your walking automatically registers your mileage on the dial. The dial gives any mileage, from 1/4 of a mile up to 5 miles. And if you want to keep recording your mileage, you just reset the dial. You'll use the all-metal Sergeant Preston pedometer to tell how far you walk during the day. Wouldn't it be fun to know if boys walk further than girls, or which one in the gang is the champion walker? And because it's so accurate, you'll find the pedometer comes in handy on hiking or camping trips. You'll use it to find out not only the mileage you've walked, but how much you save on shortcuts. Of course, since it's metal, you'll be able to wear it during games and see how far you go in a football or basketball game. And these are only a few of the things you'll find to do with your pedometer. You've probably thought of a lot of things you'd like to try with one already. So how about it? Let's get that pencil and paper ready, because I'm going to tell you where to send for your Sergeant Preston pedometer right now. Ready? Jot down this address. Pedometer, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Send 1 Quaker Puff wheat or rice box top, along with 50 cents in cash and your name and address. That's right. You get this amazing Sergeant Preston pedometer for only 50 cents and 1 Quaker Puff wheat or rice box top. Mail to Pedometer, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. Here's the address again. Send 1 Quaker Puff wheat or rice box top and 50 cents in cash to Pedometer, Box L, Chicago 77, Illinois. But hurry, the Sergeant Preston pedometer is not available in stores, and our supply is limited. If you send for yours right now, you'll be the first boy or girl in your block to have this amazing pedometer that tells you your mileage. Send today. First come, first served. Bandit roamed the woods outside of Dawson. Every man who hit the trail was filled with fear for his life and his gold. But finally, Sergeant Preston learned the true identity of the bandit. He was faced with the stern necessity of branding a good friend a criminal. Be sure to hear this next exciting adventure. These were features of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, and directed by Fred Flowerday. Today's adventure was written by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Blake Beamer. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at the same time by Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. The breakfast cereal stocked from guns. This is Fred Foy wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puff Wheat and Quaker Puff Rice. So long. This is Mutual, radio network for all America.